singing now. I appreciate these songs and how they blessed our hearts. And to be able to think about what a day that will be. A lot of good things are going to happen when this life comes to an end. And we get to be with the Lord for all eternity. In the book of John, in the 16th chapter, is where we'll be reading from tonight. John, the 16th chapter. And we ask that you pray for us for the time that we're before you, that God will just bless his word. Give us something that we all can walk away with tonight and be able to be encouraged by God's word. Because I find there's a lot of things in this life that can bring you down. But the only thing I found that really encourages me is the word of God. The word of God can lift you up when nothing else can. Because it tells us of our past, what the Lord has done for us. And it tells us of our future, what he's prepared for us when we leave this world of sorrow. So, book of John, the 16th chapter, if you'd like to stand for the reading of God's word, go with me, if you would, down to the last verse. Verse 33 is what we'll be reading tonight. He says in this verse, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Just that one verse tonight, and you can be seated in the house of God. And he starts this off that he told his disciples, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace." And the reason why he told them that they would be looking for peace, or that they needed peace, is because he told them that he was about to go away. But he said, "I will not leave you comfortless, but I'll pray the Father, and he'll send the Comforter into your hearts to lead us and guide us, to exhort us, to rebuke us, to lead us and to give us all things whatsoever it is that we stand in need of." Because Jesus told them, he said, "In this world you shall have tribulation." And I don't know in all my years I've ever heard of so much tribulation that's taken place in people's lives. If it's not in your house, you know of people where it is at. And I've never seen it at the magnitude that we have it today. And people say, "Well, what is tribulation?" And throughout the Bible, it gives us several different definitions of what tribulation means. It means to be burdened, affliction, also anguish, trouble, or persecution that comes. And when I read all of these five definitions of tribulation, I think about probably every one of us could raise our hands and say, if it's not with us, we know somebody that is going through that tribulation. We know some home that is surrounded by it. And Brother Bill, I was even thinking today that while I was at the job, that it seems like that in days past, trouble would come and trouble would go. But now it seems like this tribulation is just one thing after another. And it's not just in one household, but it's in multiple households to where that people are getting caught up in all this tribulation. But he said, "But be of good cheer." And if I would have a text tonight, it would be "Cheer up." They used to sing a song that said, "Cheer up, my brother." Some of y'all remember that song. Cheer up, because we have been warned by Christ that we're going to have tribulation. We're going to have anguish. We're going to have persecution. We're going to have days of trouble. We're going to have afflictions, and we're going to have burdens. But he said, "Cheer up, because I have overcome the world." In the John the 15th chapter, verses 18 and 19 tells us that most of our tribulation comes because of our association with Jesus Christ. And I want to explain that. The Bible says that the world hates Christ. And he warned us that because it hated him, it will also hate us. it will cause tribulation to come because the devil is trying his best to tear down everything that the Lord has done good. And he's working hard at it. Did he not say that in the last days the devil would go forth like a roaring lion, devouring whom he may? And it says that not only does the world hate Christ, but it hates his followers. And I don't like using that word, but that's exactly what the scripture says. That the world hates Christ and his followers. And as long as we're associated with Christ, we're going to have to endure tribulation. But I'd rather be with Christ and have tribulation than I had to be in the world and have no tribulation and know that when I come to the end of life's way, that I would spend eternity in an awful place of hell and destruction. He said to be prepared because tribulation's going to come, evil's going to come, and the book of John also says that and teaches us that the devil is come to steal, kill, and destroy, and try to take away all the blessings that God has given to us. But let me give you a word of comfort tonight. No matter what the devil takes away, the Lord has got a storehouse full of more blessings for his people. If we'll keep lifting him up and keep on worshiping him, he's got more in store for us today. The Bible teaches us that as we try to overcome this world, as we have this tribulation that we have to go through and the times of sorrow that we must endure, that the Bible says in the book of Romans in the 12th chapter, it tells us that we as God's people have to watch how we try to battle the Satan when he comes against us. It says for us not to try to overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. And sometimes, anybody else like me, that it's hard sometimes to have a good thought when evil is all around you. Sometimes it's good, as the writers, Jesus told us in his word, that when the enemy comes against us, that we ought to pray for our enemies. That we ought to exalt them, that we ought to ask the Lord to help even our enemies. Because, you see, we was once an enemy against God ourselves. We may not have persecuted the church, but we was just as lost as the lost people are today. And we need to overcome evil with good. And even when we can't think of a good thing to say, we can say, Lord, help them, that they might change their ways. I remember, and I didn't know that scripture like I do today, when I used to have a boss that just loved to give me tribulation. He loved, I believe it made his day, that if he could pull me aside and just give me a hard way to go. And I was doing my job, and that's what made him so mad. And he enjoyed just cussing from one end to the other. People know that you're in church, and they know that you serve God. They'll try everything in the world to get you to break. And he used to get me so mad, my face would probably get blood red. My ears, Billy, would get blood red. And I'd just be like a tick, but I couldn't do a thing about it. Then one day the Lord laid upon my heart that instead of getting upset, I would just smile. So then when he started doing it, I would just smile. And you know what? The sessions didn't last as long. And after a while, they stopped. Because you see, the devil tries to push you to the point that you come to his side. And then he's got the victory over you. But the writer said in the book of Romans that we ought not overcome evil with evil, but we overcome evil with good. That when tribulation comes, it's not the time to stop going to church. It's not the time to stop praying or to stop praising. That's when we ought to be lifting up the Lord even more and saying, God, it's up to you to help me and my family in this situation in which we're going through. And the Bible says that when we do that, we're able to give the devil a black eye, because Jesus encouraged his disciples and said, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have hard days. Anybody had hard days? Anybody had tribulation? He said, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. When the Lord tells us that no matter what we're going through, we can have good cheer. You and I, when I try to encourage people, I find I don't have the right words to say that gets the job done. But when the Lord says, be of good cheer, folks, it ought to perk us up to where we're able to stand even in the midst of our trouble and be able to praise the Lord for what He is about to do for us, because He said that we could be of good cheer because He has overcome the world. Anybody else read that He defeated the devil? He defeated death. That song that they sung earlier, Robin Sharon, it talked about it. And even Rachel and Sarah's song talked about it. That when we come to the end of life's way, when we see all that the Lord has paid, given to us, it will be worth every day of tribulation that we had to endure on this side, because there is no tribulation in heaven. There is no trouble in heaven. And I put this in because it's upon my heart. When I hear people talk about that when we get to heaven, that we'll go to a different place, and once we paid for all that we've done wrong, then we'll be able to go into a different level of heaven. That is a philosophy straight from hell, because when we get to heaven, we're all going to be in the same heaven, praising the Lord for all eternity, because He brought us through the tribulation of this life that we've gone through. And I might as well put this in as well. I don't think that we have seen near as much tribulation as we're about to. People say, what about the great tribulation? I believe that we are right on the edge of entering into the time that the Bible says that there'll be a great falling away, and there'll be a time that people will go through things like we have never endured before. People think they got it hard now. Folks, our people that are lost, they better get saved, because harder days are coming, and without the Lord, we won't be able to make it. How many of us today, and I just shared this with one of the sisters before church, sometimes when I look at everything that's going on in people's lives, we got folks right now that are on the edge of just that so much of a burden and a load that they're carrying, Sister Ruby, that they're about to succumb to the load and maybe even break at that point. But folks, let me tell you, it's nothing compared to what is going to come if God's people don't get back to the Lord and we don't get our people saved. We will not be able to endure what is waiting for us tomorrow. People say, I thought you was going to give us something we could take away that would encourage us tonight. I am. This is the encouragement. Lord, I can't even walk without Him holding my hand. Without Him giving me the encouragement that I stand in need of, and without knowing that He said you're going to have tribulation, you're going to have trouble. In fact, the Bible teaches us this as well. If the devil doesn't bother you, then you must not be doing anything for the Lord. Amen? The more I find we try to do for the Lord, the more the devil comes against us. He doesn't bother those that aren't doing anything. But He wants to try to discourage God's people that are still trying to preach and teach and sing and testify, still trying to live a godly life. That's the ones that He tries to come against. But I say, let's just keep on singing. Let's keep on preaching. Let's keep on testifying. Let's keep on praising the Lord, because He tells us that we can be of good cheer, even though we're going through hard times. Anybody else remember the 70s? The economic times that was there? And how difficult it was? And yet, I've seen people go to some of the best services that I have recollection of was when things were hard and tribulation was all around. People realized that they needed the church. They needed brothers and sisters. They needed God more than they had any need for anything else that the world has to offer. We talked about a people coming back to God. We need a revival to where people will see that in these perilous times, and Paul talked to Timothy about it, that in the last days that perilous times would come, trouble would come. And he said it like this, that the Son of Man, the Son of God, will not come until there be a great falling away. Are we not seeing that today? Look around us. It's all over the place. I've heard many of pastors and other church members talk about their church and about how that the crowd has fallen, about how that people used to go, don't go anymore. And as a pastor, it concerns me. It bothers me as a Christian that people have time for everything in the world except for what they should have time for. There is nothing like the church. There's nothing like worshiping God. There's nothing like feeling the Holy Spirit. You can't have enough money that this world has to be able to buy one blessing of the Holy Spirit passing by our way and giving us cheer even in the midst of trouble. Anybody else seen somebody that you would think that if anybody had a reason to be down and out, it would be them? I have gone to the hospital. I've gone to the funeral homes and tried to. I went there, Rachel, and said, Lord, just give me a word to try to lift them up. And I would go there, and instead of me lifting them up, it was them lifting me up. And I say, Lord, if they can be cheerful in all that they're going through, then I have no reason whatsoever ever to complain about what I'm going through. Because God gave them cheer, He also will give us cheer. But many Christians, many of us, are looking in the wrong places to find cheer. The world doesn't have it. The job doesn't have it. The community in which you live in doesn't have it. You know, the only place that I'm really the most cheerful at is when I'm in the house of the Lord. And some people, Brother Holcomb, might say, if you're cheerful here, I would not want to see you out of here. Amen? If you can't be cheerful in the house of God, something is wrong with us. Because this is a place of safety. It's a place where we can come and be lifted up. Jesus told them, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He's already. People say, well, he was still alive when he said that. He didn't have to die to overcome the world. He overcome the world before the world was ever spoken into existence. He already had the victory. People say, how did he have it until he died? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost had the plan from the beginning of time, that they knew times like this would come, and they already had it worked out that God's Son, Jesus Christ, would give us the victory today. Amen. It's not Him still working on it. People are worried, and I didn't know I was going to say all this. People are worried about the great tribulation, about the battle of Armageddon, and all the things to come. Folks, let me tell you, we may have to go through tribulation, and we ought to worry and pray about that, but you can forget about the Armageddon, because that battle has already been fought and won by Jesus Christ Himself. If there was another battle, we'd have to worry about who's going to win, who's going to lose. Has anybody else read the back of the book? I know who wins. It's Jesus, it's God, it's the Holy Spirit, and it's us, the church, that wins. In the Bible, in 1 John, he says it like this. Everyone that is born of God overcometh the world. Anybody read that verse before? You and I that are born of God, we are overcomers of this world. Next time the devil tries to get you down and say, I've got the victory over you, remind him that the Bible says that we've already overcome the world. And this is the rest of it. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Do you have faith tonight? People say, I'd like to have the faith to get through this trial. I'd like to get through this tribulation. I'd like to get through this burden that I'm carrying. The only way that we can get the victory is by faith. Sharon sings that song about faith. How many of you remember the words to that song? While we are here, the writer said we have to walk by faith. We have to depend upon the Lord. But there's coming a day when our faith is going to end in sight. That we'll see it for ourselves and we'll lay down faith. We will no longer walk by faith. But while we're here, in order to overcome the world, overcome, and I don't know if I've mentioned this already or not, so I need to interject it here. The world in the Bible often typifies the devil. In order to get the victory over the devil, we have to have faith. We have to have faith. When we give up on God, we've given up on everything. We've given up on God. You can give up on the pastor. You can give up on the church, but don't give up on God. All these others might let you down. But I believe I have a witness here tonight that God has never let us down. Every tribulation that we've gone through, it's God that brought us through it. Anybody else, and I feel like preaching for a few more minutes, anybody else look back over your life and see the tribulation that you've been through and you see every one that you've been victorious over? It's because you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because of Him that you got the victory. And verse 5 of 1 John 5 says, "He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God overcometh the world." As long as we believe and we have our faith, folks, we can overcome the tribulation that the devil is trying to put upon God's people. Kenny Banks said it to me like this the other day when the phone call come about his grandson. Heartbroken. He says, "It seems like the devil is trying to destroy everyone that works for the Lord. He's trying to get those that don't believe to keep them as non-believers, and those that believe, he's trying to destroy every one of them." And folks, it might look like to the world that the devil has destroyed many a homes. He's destroyed many of Christian lives, and he's taken out some prematurely into eternity. But to everyone that knows the Lord, Paul said to die is gain. To everyone that knows the Lord, when the devil comes and makes a mess, it's just a good time for the Lord to show up and show that he can fix everything that the devil has messed up. Are we trusting in the Lord to fix those tonight? Every one of us has got problems. Amen? This is not a time for us to list all of our problems. But we all have problems. Every one of us. But every time I think about what I'm going through or what you're going through, Sister Mary, it makes me to remember that there is nothing that any of us is going through that God cannot handle. God can handle it tonight. And I want to give this to you before I close this evening from the book of Revelations in the 17th chapter. Because this is something that blessed my heart when I read it again. And I want to share it with you. It's talking about the 10 horns and about the 10 kings. And how that these 10 kings come together and form one power, if you'll have it. And they come together with the beast and try to come against God and against God's people. And in verse 13, he says that they have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. The beast is the devil. The world, and can I put this in? The world is already given their power and strength to the devil. Everything they have, they're giving it to the devil. And he said it like this in verse 14. "These," meaning the devil and all that have joined him, "these shall make war with the Lamb." But listen at what he said. "And the Lamb shall overcome them." There is not enough devils in hell to defeat our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Somebody ought to be able to say something. Not enough devils in hell to bring all kinds of tribulation upon this earth to destroy our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But this is what really blessed my heart. "For He is Lord of lords and King of kings." Is that not what the Bible also tells us inscribed upon His throne? He is Lord of lords and King of kings. That excites me, but that's not what I want to read to you. Listen to this. "And they that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful." You and I today, we are called. We are chosen and we are faithful to get the victory in the time of our tribulation that the devil brings against us. And let me close with this. I told Sister Villa tonight when she told me Harold was doing better, able to eat more than what he has been in a long time. I said, that's just an answer to our prayers. I said, I don't know how God's going to answer our prayers. But my prayer for her, once that Harold pronounced that he had been saved, my prayer was that God would make it easy on Sister Villa. Help her with the load, the tribulation that she was under. Some would say, well, that meant God was going to take him out of this life. God answers prayers in God's way. And if by him eating is lightening her load, I say, amen. God has shown up yet another time, answered another prayer, that when the devil brought great tribulation upon the household, God shows up and says, look what I can do for you. I can help you with that load. And how does she get that victory? Through faith. By God's people and by her praying and asking the Lord for his will to be done. We have every reason in the world to cheer up. Every reason to be excited, even in the midst of trouble, about what God is about to do. Look what he did for everyone in the Bible that had trouble. Look what he did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. About ready to be killed, what the world saw by this great flame, this great fire. But the Lord said, it might be trouble for you, but in the midst of your trouble, I'm going to join you in that fire. And the king said, how many did we throw in? They said, three, O king. He said, I see four. And the fourth is like the Son of God walking in the midst of that fire. When the trouble come to Job's house, and the world would say, look, he's lost everything. God says, you haven't seen me work yet. Job kept his faith in the midst of his tribulation. At the end of it, God gave him back double what he had then in the beginning. God is able to take us through tribulation. Look what he did for the children of Israel. They went through 400 years of tribulation, but God brought them through and brought them out and into the promised land. You're talking about, it may look like it's rough now, but it's going to get better. Cheer up. Even in the midst of your tribulation, God's got a plan. And his plan is going to be better at the end, as long as we keep our faith, than what it is right now while we're going through it. Robin, Sharon, get us a song. That's enough preaching this evening. We ought to be the happiest people there are. Do we not have food on our table? Clothes on our back? A roof over our head? Brother Holcomb testified about those that are homeless and about how that a lot of churches don't want anything to do with them. Folks, there's not a one of us that's any better than the person that is living down underneath the overpass. There's not a one of us that's any better than the one that is homeless and living in a car. Not a one of us any better than those that have nothing. I like what Jesus told them. And he painted this picture tonight. When he asked the question, who gave the most? Was it those that gave a lot? Or was it that little widow woman that gave all that she had? She gave more than they. In fact, it's what the scripture says. She gave more than they because they had a lot and could separate. She only had a little. Yet she gave of that portion unto the Lord. Folks, God doesn't look at your bank account. He looks at the soul. And there's a lot of people going through great tribulations now. I heard a statistic just this week that most Americans are only three paychecks away from being homeless. Most Americans, three paychecks. Some of you look at me and say, Roger, now you really got us depressed. You think about the economy and the times in which we're living in. If God's people don't get back to church and get back to God, get their homes right with God, there is no hope for them. No hope for them. But if we will hold on to the Lord and have faith, how many of you have seen the Lord bring you through rougher times? You are a witness to what God can do. But you see, our younger people don't have the testimony that you have. You know what was the most important thing in you coming through the trials and the tribulation you went through? Was that you wasn't walking by yourself. And I'm not talking about your spouse. I'm not talking about your family. But how many of you walked through it knowing that it was God that was holding to your hand? And He brought you through. Tonight, He'll do the same thing again if we'll just get our people back to God. While we stand, we sing a verse of a song. Folks, I don't know your hearts. God gave us this word to help us to realize that times are hard. Tribulation is all around us. But God is in the midst of us. Yes. Listen to this song tonight. Living around us. That's the way the devil would have it to appear. But listen at the chorus tonight, church. Farther along, we'll know all about it. God will let us see why we had to go through that time period of our life. Yes. Sing that last verse, Rob. My most favorite part of this whole song. Yes. All tribulation will end then. No more pain or sorrow. Because all the former things will pass away. And behold, all things are new. We'll understand it once we see heaven. Help them sing this chorus tonight, church. Yes. Yes. I see folks all the time that by listening to them, you would think that everything is good because they got good jobs and they're making money and they're putting it in the bank. What they don't realize is money can't bring that wayward child back home. Money can't buy the health back to your body. Once the tribulation, the trials, the trouble has come to this flesh, money can't buy happiness that you need and peace that you need when you lay down upon your bed. Brother Holcomb, we may be broke, But we can lay down on the bed at night and say, if I never see the dawning of another day, I've got a better place to go. I've got a better place to go. That's why I think Paul said, with food and raiment, be therefore content. Whatever it is, whatever state that you are, that we ought to be able to be happy just knowing that the Lord is our God. He's a good God. He's a good God. I hope you got something from the Word tonight. Something that we can take with us and that we can share with others. That when trouble comes, when tribulation comes, there's only one place to go. There's another song that goes right with the message. Where else could I go but to the Lord? To the Lord. God bless you. I pray that you have a great week. What's left of it. Remember, ladies, at 2 o'clock on Saturday for their ladies' Christmas get together, and they're meeting here at the church at 1 o'clock. So remember that. Remember the Christmas basket out front for the children that otherwise may not even get a gift. That we ought to try to, in our best, we can't send one to every child, but to the best that we can, try to help those that's around us tonight. So remember all that. Remember our service Sunday morning. Looking forward to a great time in the Lord. Invite somebody to come out and be with you. And then Sunday afternoon at 4:30. Is that what Jeff said? 4:30 for the youth to be back here at the church. So pass that word along as well. And then our Sunday night service as well. So as they used to say in the old Baptist church, let's go praying, come back praying, expecting good things to happen when we come back together. God bless you is our prayers tonight.